You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Happy New Year, everyone. It is the Gym Class here at KGYM as we come your way one final time in 2022. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour coming up on 3:05. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes across the way. Ben on the other side of the glass on the, what is it, Mark? Pen? What is it? What is it today? Is the
penultimate day of 2022.
Thank you.
Yesterday was the penultimate show.
Correct.
Yeah.
Today, the penultimate day.
You just wanted me to use that word one more time in 2022.
I did, and you did it very, very well. We got a great show coming up for you today. We are presented, as always, by DuPaco Community Credit Union, and you can check them out online at dupaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to the website. You can stop by any of their many, many locations up and down the corridor around Eastern Iowa, what have you. Thank them for being the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. David Eicholt covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for the 24/7 Sports. Going to be joining us from Nashville. Plenty to chew on today as we get less than 24 hours from the kickoff of Iowa and Kentucky tomorrow at 11 o'clock Iowa time. That game, of course, played in Nashville. We'll talk about that. The coordinators and Kirk Ferentz meeting with the media earlier on today. We'll talk about that, and we'll also discuss last night's offensively challenged Iowa basketball game against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. We'll talk about that a little bit more before we get to David. And then your chance to win a $30 gift certificate from Emil's Hideaway on 1st Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. That comes up with our Emil's Hideaway Pick six. So we got a lot to get to on the program. We've got bowl action going on. The Big Ten, the juggernaut that is the Big Ten Conference, remaining unbeaten as Maryland and their coaching staff, their head coach, I believe it may be the head coach. I don't know who's going to get doused with the mayonnaise bath, but it is coming. Maryland beat North Carolina State 16-12 to finish off their season at 8-5. The Big Ten remains unbeaten in bowl action. Right now in the Sun Bowl at halftime, UCLA leading Pitt 21-14. And in the Gator Bowl, they are late in the first quarter. Notre Dame has just taken advantage of a South Carolina turnover. And the Irish and the Gamecocks are tied at 7. Ohio and Wyoming are going to kick at the bottom of the hour. I'll ask you this, Mark. If it's a bowl game and it's not on any sort of television, is it a bowl game at all?
Barstool thinks so.
Arizona Bowl. Yeah, it's only on Barstool. Good luck if you are a fan of Wyoming or Ohio. And then the Orange Bowl tonight. That will be, we'll have it for you just ahead of the kickoff. Tennessee and Clemson come your way. A lot of orange down in Miami right now. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. And Matt Fairfax, happy new year to you as well. And thanks for the kind words as we go into 2023. We're off Monday, back on Tuesday to take a look at Iowa, Kentucky, and Iowa, Penn State basketball, Iowa State, Baylor basketball. A lot to get to. The NFL. We'll know a lot more going into the final week of the season coming up when we reconvene in 2023 on Tuesday. But, Mark, let's start off with last night in Lincoln, a game that a lot of folks, I guess, had penned as a must-win early in the season for Iowa. If you did or you didn't, it didn't go well for the Hawkeyes as Iowa went 10 minutes without a field goal in the first half. They were the gang that couldn't shoot straight last night. I'll thank our friend Kevin for that on Twitter. But Iowa fell behind early. Nebraska played very good defense, and the Huskers win it 66-50 over in Lincoln in a game that really wasn't that close all throughout.
Yeah, I have a hard time explaining the shooting woes for Iowa. The guard play got literally no offensive production out of the guards. Now, I will say that Nebraska was pretty well connected on defense, but to be held to a season-low 50 points, 26% shooting on the day, you only get to the free throw line 8 times in a game. That's not Iowa. You want to get there 20 times or more. But I don't know. This is a team in a funk right now. And it's staring 0-4 straight in the face in the Big Ten.
And no more funky than Peyton Sanford. And you're almost to the point now that you feel for the kid because – and there are a lot of things that are being written right now that are, you know, I think Peyton Sanford is the basketball equivalent of Spencer Petras at about this point. Peyton Sanford did not forget how to play basketball, did not forget how to shoot. He's just in a really horrendous slump right now, and he needs to see, not in practice, but in a game situation, the ball go through the basket. And 0-for-9 last night, 0-for-3 from three-point range. And basically, Josh Dix was taking his minutes at the end of the first half and a lot of the second half last night. And I thought if there was a little bit of a shining moment for Iowa last night or a bright spot, number one, Philip Rabracha is just absolutely doing Herculean things right now. Double-double last night for Rabracha as he ended up with 16 points and 13 rebounds, 8 of 16 shooting. And you take him out of the equation, and Iowa loses by 25 in that game last night because Patrick McCaffrey, 3 points. Aaron Ulis did not score. Tony Perkins was a non-factor in the game. It's getting very frustrating now, and I think Fran McCaffrey showed that on the sideline, especially on that one foul, the cylinder call against Connor.
Yeah, you expected a much better effort with the return of Chris Murray and Connor McCaffrey, and Iowa just didn't get it. And again, I can't explain why this team can't put the ball in the basket. I don't think it's a great shooting team from the start, but, I mean, Chris Murray came back, had 17, but he was 6 of 15 from the field. And a couple air balls from three-point range. He played 35 minutes after missing how many games?
4 games.
Yeah. So, I don't know what the answer is. I know Fran McCaffrey is searching. Fran McCaffrey can't shoot the basketball. And Iowa got good opportunities. But just couldn't make shots.
Yeah, Chris Murray was 17 points, but you take a look at the line, 6 of 15 shooting. Rabracha was 8 of 16. Like I said, I think Josh Dix deserves some minutes. The one head-scratching thing for me, and yes, I like the kid, but I don't know why Josh Ogundele did not play in that game last night. I cannot figure that out for the life of me. I think you had an opportunity, especially with Derek Walker in foul trouble last night, to take it in the middle against Nebraska, especially when you can't make anything outside 10 feet. And Ogundele never got off the bench last night.
I'm with you on that, but I thought you were going to go down the Patrick McCaffrey road. 1 of 9 from the field. Boy, he's a streaky player. He'll score 21 one game, and he had, what, 3 last night?
Yep, 3.
That's it.
That was it. 319-366-1600, 51-22, and I've been saying this a while just by watching. Sanford looks like he's hurrying his shots. I agree. I think he is. He's got a very quick release, but I think he's just trying to get the thing off a little bit too quickly. And, you know, none of us are shot doctors or anything like that, but, you know, he's going to get out of this funk. He is just in a funk of all funks right now, and you got to keep shooting. I mean, that's first thing coaches will tell you. 0905, there were a couple of defensive lapses that were head-scratching last night.
Get outscored 20-0, that's not good.
No, and I mean, overall, you give up 66 on the road, that's not a bad defensive performance. And I would agree with 80-77 And I think this is the MO against the Hawks right now in the blueprint to play them. Nebraska was very physical last night. Iowa needs to learn to play through it and get more physical themselves. You can take a look at everybody. The only game that Iowa played well when the other team was getting physical with them so far this year was Iowa State. Other than that, Wisconsin, Nebraska last night, TCU down in Florida, all banged against Iowa, and Iowa did not look good. So we'll see. We'll talk about that with David Eicholt coming up, and we'll get to the Emil's Hideaway pick six. We'll get the scoreboard for you as well. All that coming up. We're going to take a break, come back, and we'll check in with David Eicholt. He is going to be joining us from Nashville as we get ready for Music City Bowl 2022, Iowa and Kentucky. Stay with us as we continue with the final show of 2022 here in the Gym Class. Back with more from the Circus Sports Iowa studios right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Kason Frericks with a check of your weather first forecast. As we go throughout our day on Friday, we're expecting partly sunny skies. Temperatures will be into the lower 30s. More clouds will work their way back in as we head towards Friday night. Temperatures will be dropping into the lower 20s. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
One of the things I love about betting on the NFL is that I'm always finding new player or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. Perfect for Sunday's Bears-Lions contest. If you like Justin Fields going over the rushing yards total, DeAndre Swift as an anytime touchdown scorer, and Amon-Ra St. Brown going over the receiving yards total, that's an intriguing same-game parlay. Same Game Parlay is just one of the reasons to bet with FanDuel. They have an easy-to-use app. It's easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. And they feature fast withdrawals. When you win, FanDuel gets you your winnings fast. There's no feeling like nailing a Same Game Parlay, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. New to FanDuel? Sign up with promo code KUHN for your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's promo code KUHN. 21+ and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Free bets expire 14 days after. After receipt, restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Back with you on the Gym Class, KGYM, on this Friday edition of the show. Coming up on 3:17, we'll have the Emil's Hideaway pick six for you. A chance for one of our listeners to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway in First Avenue Southeast. We will have that opportunity for you coming up here in just a little bit. We've got the Betfred Sportsbook Hour at 6, followed by the Orange Bowl coming up tonight, Clemson and the Tennessee Volunteers. And tomorrow it's the Music City Bowl as Iowa takes on Kentucky, and David Eicholt is in Nashville covering things for 24/7 Sports. Give him a follow on Twitter at David Eicholt, E-I-C-A-K-H-O-L-T. And how's everything in Music City, David?
Hey, guys, good to join you. Yeah, things are going well. The weather's cooperating a little bit better than I thought it was going to heading into the week, so that's always a plus thing. And as you mentioned, we're just under 24 hours away, and what I think is going to be an incredibly entertaining game because it's so unknown to both teams, and obviously with it being the lowest over-under in the history of college football, this is going to be a lot of fun.
David, you had one more audience with not only Kirk Ferentz, but Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker today. What did the latter two have to say? What were your takes from Brian and Phil?
Yeah, I think for Phil, something that stuck out to me was, I believe, Kennington Lloyd Smith asked the question to him about cornerback depth and who's kind of stepping up. And, you know, Phil Parker essentially didn't mention anybody, but he mentioned that Xavier Wampa would be making his first career start, and he's really made a big jump through bowl prep. And obviously, I know a lot of people have been waiting for Xavier to get some significant snaps, so I think that's notable. And on the Brian Ferentz side, I mean, at this point, I don't know what he can say that's going to make anybody happy. I think no matter what questions are being asked, no matter how he answers, some people have their opinions made up, but I don't think that his comments today necessarily helped. I mean, again, I think Chad Lysko, the Des Moines Register, asked Brian about, you know, hearing criticism from the outside and how he kind of responds to that. And Brian responded with, is that a serious question? And he said, you know, he kind of just went on and he said, I did the best with the players and the options that I had. this year. And I just don't think there's a lot of accountability. So I think the temperature of the fan base is going to continue to rise with that. But it was definitely an interesting press conference. But like I mentioned, guys, I don't think anything that Brian could possibly say was going to help him.
Now, I agree with you 100%, but boy, that harkened back to the days of some Steve Alford-type comments, what Brian had to say. And at this point, I don't know what he can say, but I think he probably could have chosen his words a little bit more carefully today.
I'm with you on that. I seriously think that he would just say, you know what, it's my responsibility to put these guys in a place to succeed. It's my job to give them opportunities, and ultimately our lack of production reflects on me. I think at least it shows the fans that you're not throwing your team under the bus. You're taking accountability for Iowa's inability to produce points. But, you know, again, I think he was asked later on about the additions of Cade McNamara and of Eric All, and he was asked, well, is there any promises made that something was going to change? And he said, no promises have made. We know who we are. And I get maybe that's coach speak before a bowl game, guys, but it certainly was not something that's going to be memorable from Iowa fans to hear.
We know who the Iowa quarterback is going to be tomorrow morning. Any indication of who's going to lead Kentucky?
You know, I don't think they've really necessarily confirmed that. I mean, I still think that they're splitting reps between two or three different players, and I think it's just going to basically go up until up until the first half of the game. You know, Kentucky didn't really give any hints today when we spoke with Mark Stoops. They did not have their interim offensive coordinator available for comment, but Mark was not giving up anything hanging to this one. So it will be interesting. And I mean, like I said, guys, I expect this to be a full wrinkle of craziness for both teams, because I think Iowa's going to run a lot of RPO. I don't think they're going to run much under center. And on Kentucky side, I just don't know what playmakers they have. Obviously, Will Levis has opted for the NFL draft. Their Chris Rodriguez, their star running back, declared for the NFL draft, and their backup entered the transfer portal. So it's just going to be a hodgepodge of unknown entities, and I love it.
Talking about the Iowa offense here, David, you mentioned RPOs, and I think we are going to see a lot more of that. Joe Labus was the scout team guy. Ran a lot of run-pass option in getting the first-team defense ready to go. With that being said, if things work against Kentucky in that system anyway, oh, my goodness. If the Iowa offense explodes, boy, there won't be enough time to answer questions on Tuesday.
Well, it'll be interesting, too, because how are we defining exploding? Are we talking 17 points? Are we talking three touchdowns? I mean, that's the real question compared to what we've seen this year. But, look, I think everybody needs to take it with a grain of salt, right? Because, look, Kentucky is missing some of their top people. I mean, they still have people opting out as early as, like, 2 days ago. They were still opting out. So I think that's certainly something notable. But, you know, like you said, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And if the RPOs work, maybe it sticks around a little bit. But let me put it this way. There's nothing that can happen with Joe Lavis tomorrow that's going to impact the way Iowa's going to run a system with Cade McNamara at the helm. And I think it's very, very important that people remember that.
I know you've had your nose to the laptop, so to speak, David. But what's the indication of Iowa fan representation down there in Nashville?
You know, I think today is going to be the first day where we really start seeing people show up. I think yesterday I saw at least quite a few faces. I have not seen much Kentucky at all. Actually, I don't think I've seen more than one or two different people with Kentucky gear on. So that's something that's a little bit surprising. But you need to understand, too, on Broadway Street and in the surrounding area, there was a lot of Tennessee Titan fans and a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans because of Thursday night football last night. So I'm going to walk around a little bit more today, get a little bit more of a gauge. But from the very early showing in my eye test, I think Iowa has certainly outshone Kentucky fans in Nashville.
David Eichel joining us live from Nashville as we get ready for the Music City Bowl here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Let's talk about this defense. No Kayvon Merriweather coming up tomorrow, but other than that, the defense is intact. Jack Campbell back for his final game, the All-American linebacker. We've been saying all year that This is going to be one, go down as one of the top defenses in the history of Iowa football. I guess they get one more chance to have an encore tomorrow. And knowing Phil Parker and the defense and those guys playing, I think they want to go out on a big note tomorrow. What do you think?
I'm with you, and I think it's very notable that Jack Campbell's playing this game. And, you know, I tweeted out a couple clips earlier from Kirk Ferentz and his press conference when he was asked about Campbell a couple of different times. And Kirk got very emotional a couple times. He had to pause for 5 or 6 seconds to just get himself together and what he means to the program. And, you know, for Sam Laporta as well, even playing in this game, I mean, Kirk was very overcome with emotion about those caliber of guys wanting to finish what they started. But I'm with you. I think the defense is going to come into this game very determined, very ticked off about what happened against the Nebraska game. I think Cooper DeJean is coming in with a little bit more of a chip on his shoulder as well. And it would be very fitting for Jack Campbell to make one or two plays that just, you know, are jaw-dropping and help clinch the game for Iowa. And right now, given all the weapons that Kentucky's missing, given what this Iowa defense has shown, yes, there's going to be a lot of unknown factors. Right now, I have a very hard time not seeing this Iowa team go out with just a huge, huge defensive showing led by Jack Campbell. Seth Benson as well, I think we need to throw him in that mix. He's been a very high floor guy for the last couple of years, has had a really good year in himself. Riley Moss also. So I expect big things from this defense and in this game.
Interesting story about Spencer Petras, who suffered a significant injury against Nebraska, as you outlined, David. But he's going to return. He's going to be a part of the roster. Has no intention of playing, but kind of wants to support Cade McNamara. And beyond that, who knew he was the next Dallas Jacobus?
You know, I'm with you. I think people are reading into those comments about Spencer returning a little bit. I think they're off base. I think this shows a couple of things. One, Spencer Petras is as Hawkeye gets. I mean, for a guy to win the Duke Slater Golden Gavel Award, if people aren't familiar with that, it's voted on by the Iowa local media for who's the most transparent and thoughtful and just very good to work with in terms of professional relationship with the Iowa media. Petras won it this year. Very, very well deserved. He's very respected in and outside the locker room, very X's and O's smart. And, you know, at the end of the day, he knows how to win football games. Cade McNamara does as well. He said he's not coming back to be a backup. He's coming back to support Cade McNamara, be sort of that player-coach kind of role. And if you spend any time with Spencer Petras, the dude knows the game, and he's very, very passionate about it. So I don't see this as any different way other than a win for Iowa with Petras returning.
There was a basketball game last night. maybe people decided to look the other way about 10 minutes left in the first half. I don't know. But
the women looked very good.
The women did. The women looked good last night. Congratulations to Monica Sonano getting into the 2,000-point club. But, you know, in all seriousness, boy, oh, boy. I mean, that had to be – you thought Eastern Illinois was kind of a low, but then going 10 minutes without a field goal last night – ending up losing by 16 at Nebraska in a game that really was never that close, just shot the ball horribly. Boy, it's a crossroads right now for Fran McCaffrey and the basketball team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought the Eastern Illinois game was going to wake them up. And, you know, I don't like saying this without really, really feeling strongly about it. And I want to preface it by saying I still believe every player is getting 100%. This is what they do. But you watch them play, guys, over the last couple of games. They just do not look inspired to play right now. They just don't. It looks like Phillip and Connor show up. Chris Murray, obviously, he's just trying to get his feet back under him after missing the previous four games. But there's just no inspiration with this team right now. I mean, I think they're settling from three-point range. They're taking contested mid-range shots. The ball movement isn't as crisp. I just don't think there's a lot of confidence with this team right now. And I don't think that really necessarily reflects on Fran McCaffrey. While I do think he needs to hold some sort of responsibility, I think it's very important to note that Fran McCaffrey is not the one that can make or miss shots. And if you go by shot quality and what they've been able to get, they're just missing open shots. I think they're getting beat on the glass. And like I said, I just do not think they're playing inspired basketball right now. And the road's not going to get any easier because guess what? this is not your father's Penn State Nittany Lions basketball team. Jalen Pickett is one of the best players in the conference. Rutgers is always going to be top at the rack. So it, a crossroads is a very, very good way to describe it.
David, we spent some time this week talking about NIL. Gary Barta moved to issue a letter, so to speak, in regards to that, saying he's operating by NCAA regulations. NIL cannot be part of the university and vice versa. But then you get a communication with a Kirk Ferentz video that kind of contradicted what Gary Barta's position was. Help us sort all that out.
Yeah, so I think it's very important to know. Actually, we got to talk to Gary Barta a little bit today as well, and it was with the NIL. And, you know, it's the rule of every AD, guys, to say a lot without saying anything, right? You guys have been around long enough. I mean, that's literally what it is. So, you know, Gary basically has been saying that they're going to do everything they can to support the Iowa Swarm Collective. They want to, but they want to adhere to Title IX, and they are refusing and will not give up the season ticket holders or the big donors to the Swarm as far as contact information goes. But Gary Barra says now that the Swarm is a corporate sponsor, that they can promote some of their stuff as they will with other brands. So with that being said, to get back to your question, you've mentioned Kirk Ferentz's video. I can tell you with 100% certainty that with the way the athletic department stance on it, that's their stance. Fran McCaffrey, Lisa Bluter, and Kirk Ferentz are also in full support of what the Swarm Collective wants to do and wants, obviously, to push it, because if you don't have a good NIL foundation, guys, you risk turning irrelevant. That's where we're at in college sports. Kirk Ferentz, Fran, and Lisa are smart enough to know that, and they're going to continue to do everything they can to promote the Swarm. And I think the university will, too. And, you know, as Brad Heinrichs, the CEO of the Swarm Collective, said to me through a text exchange, they're going to succeed either way. It would just be a lot faster if they allowed them to have access to that list, among a couple of other different things.
What does Title IX have to do with it, David, in Gary Barta's words? And is that the fear of past failures in that department?
And it's not something that he's going to say, but it's something that I believe. I think that they are a little bit afraid of that, yes. But, again, talking to Brad, doing some research on it, talking to a couple different people, because the Swarm is not directly affiliated with the university, they do not have to adhere to Title IX.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Iowa, for example, the Swarm Collective, they want women's basketball in there with football and men's basketball. And understandably so. You have Caitlin Clark, I think the best player in the nation over the past 3 years, has been robbed of two National Player of the Year awards, in my opinion. And that program's certainly on an upward trajectory, and they want to keep that going. But, yeah, because they're not a direct affiliate, they don't have to adhere to Title IX. And it's also important for people to know, I'm sure it's a given, but I'll reemphasize it, the university cannot give the Swarm Collective any money for the collective. They're not directly affiliated with them, but it's something that they're a corporate sponsor of, and obviously they're working side by side together.
All right. Are you bold enough to make a prediction for tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it. I have Iowa winning. I just think Iowa's defense is too good to lose this game. I don't really believe in Kentucky and their offense. And I think Iowa's going to be tougher to prepare for, because I don't think Iowa's going to run a lot of typical Iowa stuff. There's going to be RPOs, and I think that for the first time all year, they're going to have a very, very heavy dose of Caleb Johnson. And I'm really, really eager to see how that pans out.
Should be fun. Should be entertaining. I hope there's some scoring for you guys.
Both of them. Hey, you and me both, man. Put that over under to shame.
There you go. Hey, David, enjoy the bowl trip, and safe travels, and happy new year. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks, fellas. Happy New Year. I appreciate you having me.
You bet. David Eichel joining us here on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Covers the Hawkeyes for 24/7 Sports. And I've also been reading on Twitter that not very many Kentucky folks. Now, granted, Kentucky is close. They may be coming in today for the, you know, the party tonight, go to the game tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. Also heard there's not an overabundance of Iowa folks. There are Iowa people down there, but like David said last night and the last couple of days was all about the Dallas Cowboys trying to outnumber the Tennessee Titans, and they did.
You might not see any of them. They're in the honky-tonks, you know, enjoying a good time.
Yeah.
You may not see them.
Might not see them. Before we get to a break here, Mark, and we'll get the panel together in just a little bit, you want to throw a couple things, nuggets out for the scoreboard? You got a couple things? Monica Sinano, you can mention that.
Reaching 2,000 points last night and quite a milestone. Had an emotional embrace with post-player guru Jan Jensen, the assistant coach. It's quite remarkable. Iowa, the only team in the country with two 2,000 point scorers, and it was a good victory last night. McKenna Warnock couldn't miss from 3-point range. The Iowa men could have used her.
Could have. Who Iowa could use right now?
Caitlin Clark.
No.
Oh.
Young man down in Charleston, South Carolina, who's lighting things up. Let me just say that in the Southern Conference.
Austin Ash?
You're darn right.
They're completing the soldier's salute in Coralville today, and Iowa doing quite well. It's not a strong field, but one of the highlights in the finals will be Spencer Lee and Drake Ayala in the championship match at 125.
Going to be a lot of Hawkeye versus Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Down there. So that's what people want to see. So that's what we have. Before we get to a break here, Maryland beat North Carolina State 16-12 in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I'm not seeing any videos yet. I have not been on Twitter if Loxley got mayoed.
Yeah, he wore a big hat.
Okay.
And, he's at the news conference with a little bit of mayo over both shoulders. And
now, that is real mayonnaise. There was some controversy that
right
it was
it
watered
is.
Down mayonnaise. And they say, no, that is real Duke's mayonnaise.
And I have no affiliation with the mayonnaise. There's an apostrophe between the E and the S. Okay.
Very much
for
so.
For good or for bad, don't affiliate me with Duke's Mayo.
We're awaiting the Arizona Bowl to kick off between Ohio and Wyoming. That is just seconds away from getting underway. And that is not going to be found anywhere on network television, ladies and gentlemen. UCLA leading Pitt, does that count as a Big Ten win too?
I don't know. That's a bit of a surprise, but not totally. South Carolina beating Notre Dame badly.
21-7.
Yeah.
Right now, early second quarter, but the Irish have it in the red zone as they look to go in. And then tonight, Tennessee and Clemson from the Orange Bowl down in South Florida. We've got that for you. We'll join up just ahead of the kickoff at 7 o'clock on all of our frequencies coming up this evening right here on KGYM. NFL slate, it's not a good one. Except for one game.
One game, yeah.
One game, and that is we have to wait till Monday night for the big one in the AFC between Buffalo and Cincinnati. That is the only game this weekend with two winning teams squaring off against one another.
Because everybody's 7-8.
That's true. Pete Rozelle would have loved this season. He would have. It's like the first time or one of the two times I read in the last 30 years, the second to last week of the NFL season only features one game with two teams over 500.
There are games of impact, though, and I'm going to be very interested to see if the Packers can hold the home field advantage over the Vikings and Lions in the next 2 weeks.
That's the other big game on the weekend, yeah. Is the Vikings and the Packers. Do the charmed Vikings continue to win close games, or do the Packers continue their push to a possible playoff spot? We'll get that answer coming up this weekend. 43-85 before we hit a break. Hawks score at least 24 tomorrow, even with Kentucky's stout defense. We're going to pick that game and five others on the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. We'll get the panel together and pick some games. Give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. And we'll do that when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Back after this.
One innocent click could lock down your entire network for ransom. Hackers are getting more and more devious, so teach your employees to check before they click. When you open an email, hover over the address to see where it's really coming from. If it doesn't match, is misspelled, or looks off in any way, delete it. Remember, any email could be a trick, so check before you click. This message presented by Network Computer Solutions. Download their complete Protect Your Network guide at ncsei.com.
For people trying to recover from opioid use disorder, it's hard to know where to begin. At iowaopioidhelp.com, you'll find resources near you for proven treatment and a road back to your old self. Because opioid addiction is not a character flaw, it's an illness. If you or a loved one is struggling with opioid use disorder, visit iowaopioidhelp.com today. Start here. Start healing. Sponsored by the Iowa Attorney General's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Say big when you upgrade with new appliances from Menards. We offer the lowest prices with the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. New appliances from Menards are meant to make your life easier. Upgrade your home with top appliance brands including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home with new energy-efficient appliances and save big money at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email Julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Back with you in the gym class for this Friday here on KGYM. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Make it a safe one out there. Designate a driver if you need to. Need we say more out there? David and Hudson, before we get to the Emil's Hideaway pick six, Fran needs to get some pure shooters. Peyton's going to end up being fine, just in a slump. I'm sure they work on shooting all the time, but boy, some of the guys just look awful when they shot it. Yeah. I can't disagree with anything said right there. Peyton's going to be fine. He just needs to see a couple go in.
When?
You got to shoot, man. You got to shoot. And yes, 97-82. At one point, they were 1-for-9 on layups. Indicates to me the problem is between the ears. Is Iowa in a putting slump right now?
They got the yips last night.
Man. So we go from talking shooting here. We're all shooting doctors. By the way, we were discussing mayonnaise during the break, which was, a tasty subject right there.
I did not bring any from the sports office, guys. I'm sorry.
Okay. Or whether it be Duke's or otherwise.
Hellman's. Miracle Whip.
Whatever. We don't discriminate on this program.
Mayonnaise is mayonnaise.
That's right. That's right. It is time for the final 22 edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Stop on by. They're open at 4 o'clock each and every day. And thanks to everybody. Happy New Year to the entire staff over there, including Dave, who joins us here, who's now, Mark, taking over the lead. Is that correct, or is he tied with me?
He's tied with you.
Okay. Well, it's a matter of time.
Remember the lead? I had it for like a week, and
things
have been going steadily downhill. So,
Dave has spread a bit of mayonnaise on bread over the years, haven't you, Dave?
You betcha.
All right, Mark, go ahead.
All right. As mentioned, Dave won a tiebreaker over me last week. We were both 4-2, and consequently, he has tied Scott for the season lead at 48-45. Spencer and I are brothers and trailing.
We get a participation trophy.
Yeah.
And a jar of mayonnaise.
But at any rate, the games get a bit meatier on the Emil's Hideaway. See what I did there?
I did. I heard that. Yeah.
With mayonnaise? Meat with mayonnaise?
Dave's going to lead off. We're going to talk about tonight's game. Clemson and Tennessee in the Orange Bowl. Clemson favored by 5.5 points, Dave.
You have to try and figure out which team is more motivated to play here after missing out on the college football playoffs. So we have two former backup quarterbacks for Tennessee, Joe Milton III and Cade Klubnik for Clemson. The Volunteers have a good chance if they keep Milton clean in the pocket and run the ball well. Clemson has a good chance if Klubnik can get behind the ball's secondary. The Tennessee secondary ranks 127th in the nation against the pass and gave up more than 450 passing yards in three different games this year. Tennessee was the offensive juggernaut most of the season, but without Hendon Hooker, their production will have to take a step backwards. Teams that can run the ball and play better defense win these games. Give me Clemson to win and cover.
Okay, Spencer.
Yeah, I mean, if it's one of those games where if the Vols were a whole group, Jalen Hyatt, Hendon Hooker, the key guys that have opted out or are hurt were playing, I'd side with the Vols, but I think Clemson is the better team. They got a pretty solid stable of running backs, and I was impressed with Cade Klubnik against North Carolina in that ACC championship game, so I'll roll with the Tigers.
Scott.
Rusty's in Florida, right?
He is.
You put Rusty in Florida rooting for the Tennessee Volunteers. They're going to miss Hooker, but I think it's an offense that is predicated now on being a system. And I don't know if Clemson is real motivated to be in this game. I'll take those 5 points. Rusty and I singing Rocky Top tonight at the top of our lungs.
I like Milton at quarterback. To Spencer's point, Klubnik was good in that game as well. And trying to figure out which quarterback is going to be better is really a crapshoot. But given the opportunity, I'll take the 5.5 points and roll with Tennessee. Second game up, and Spencer is batting leadoff. This is a game tomorrow, the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
College football playoff consolation game, as it were. It's Alabama and Kansas State. Bama favored by 6.5.
Yeah, after all the politicking we saw from Nick Saban on Championship Saturday, just completely forgoing the halftime shows with the bands and stuff, and here's 10 minutes with Nick Saban explaining why his team should be in the championship game because his team was favored and all that stuff, and didn't really work out for him, so he gets to take on Kansas State. I think K-State's, I mean, they got some good weapons, solid quarterback play. I like Deuce Vaughn. What I wrote down for this game was Bama angry, Bama smash. And we've seen Alabama get left out of the playoff before and kind of take it out on the opponent in their next game. So I will take Alabama in the 6.5.
Scott?
Yeah, I agree with Spencer. I think Alabama in the past, when they've missed out on the playoff, has not shown up. But I think they're going to show up for this one because I think they're angry. And, you know, just watching Nick Saban do calisthenics, it just gets you motivated right there. So roll Tide in this one.
So you're saying I shouldn't have put this one on the slate.
Okay. No, not saying that at all.
The thing of it's one thing sticking in the back of my mind is the Big 12 has not been good this bowl season.
Mm-hmm.
1-5.
But they have been bad.
I think Bama has too much talent, and I'll throw the 6.5. Dave, tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not. Kansas State put together a great season and are going to be motivated to play against Alabama. But this is a Nick Saban team that has several top-rated players leading both sides of the ball. And while the Crimson Tide might be thin at some positions, their top-tier talent is far superior to the Wildcats. Alabama is also riding a 14-game winning streak in the month of December. They're hard to beat late in the year. Give me Alabama also.
All right, it's a clean sweep. Now on to game three, and Scott is leading off. This is going to be one of my favorite matchups. It's Monday, the Rose Bowl. No longer the granddaddy of them all.
No. Still the granddaddy of them all.
Utah and Penn State. Utah favored by a pair.
Who has Penn State beat this year?
Maryland?
Maryland is Penn State's best win. And Mark, I'm with you. I got on the bandwagon late, but I think Utah is going to win this game going away. I'm taking the Fighting Utes and throwing the two.
I've liked Utah all year. The line surprises me for some reason. I'm surprised it's that short. I'm not going to be tempted by picking Penn State. I don't think they're that great a football team. So I'll go with Utah and throw the two. Dave.
This is the final Rose Bowl as we know it. The game is a college football playoff semifinal next year, and a playoff expansion folds the Rose Bowl in after that. Utah nearly pulled off an upset over a highly powered Ohio State team last year in the Rose Bowl. Both teams have struggled this season against bigger opponents. Both teams have players with injuries and one's opting out. Utah's missing pieces are greater in both number and importance. Penn State is the healthier and deeper team currently, but give me Utah.
That was good, Dave. That was good.
I like it.
Spencer.
I'm going to go on Lion Island. Give me Penn State. I'm going to be different. I got to make up some ground. I'm probably out of it, but I'll go to Lion Island and take one for the team.
It's hard to get in and out of Penn State.
That's true.
It used to be a lot harder.
Game four, and it is the first national semifinal, the Peach Bowl, Saturday. Georgia and Ohio State get together. Georgia favored by 6.5. Well, Ohio State capitalized on its second chance. And I really think Ryan Day is going to play this up to nth degree. And Ohio State's going to keep this one close. Georgia, I think, is a supremely talented team. But I'm going to roll with Ohio State here and the points. Dave.
This year's Georgia football team is not as good as last year's national title winning team. But that doesn't mean they aren't still the best team in the nation. They pose a matchup problem for Ohio State, but Georgia's defense ranks only 41st nationally in pressure rate. Buckeyes quarterback C.J. Stroud threw for 349 yards against Michigan, completing 65% of his passes despite the loss. The Bulldogs rank in the top 10 in total offense, averaging nearly 492 yards a game, one spot behind Ohio State. And they rank 7th in yards per play at 6.97. Time off will help the Buckeyes more than Georgia. The Bulldogs haven't been in a shootout this year. I think this one might be one. Give me Ohio State the points.
Okay, Spencer.
Bulldogs are the better team. I think you saw in the Michigan game, Michigan was very physical with Ohio State. And Ohio State crumbled against that physicality. I think Ohio State can test the Georgia defense, especially the secondary with the receivers they have. But in the end, Georgia's number one for a reason. Go Dogs.
Scott.
Yeah, this is Michigan's defense with more speed. Need I say more? Georgia.
All right, next to last game, and Dave is back on the leadoff spot. This is the second national semifinal, the Fiesta Bowl. It's Michigan and Texas Christian. Michigan favored by 8, Dave.
Football has become more pass-happy. Today you need a strong run game to win a national title. Michigan's running game success this season is due again to the offensive line play. For the second year in a row, the Wolverine O-line won the Joe Moore Award, given to the best offensive line in the nation. Michigan ball carriers averaged 2.75 yards before contact. That's the fifth highest in the country. Their offense ranked fourth in the nation in yards per carry at 5.64, and fifth in first downs. The Wolverines are good on both sides of the ball. They finished seventh nationally on offense, scoring more than 40 points per game, and fourth defensively, giving up just over 13 points a game. That's all I need to know. Give me Michigan to win and cover.
Spencer.
I said on my program, Spencer on Sports, I am on Team TCU to hopefully win the whole thing. They're not going to win the whole thing, sadly. I think Michigan wins. Michigan's defense is going to slow down Duggan and the offensive weapons. So I'll take the Wolverines and the points.
Scott.
I would love to see Max Duggan do well. I hope he does do well. But I hearken back to what I've seen through the regular season and so far in the bowl games, and that is the fact that the Big 12, even I think TCU, and they've been the Vikings of the college football world for the most part. I think Michigan's going to bludgeon them up and down the field. I think Michigan wins this thing by about 10, 11, or 12 right in there.
I'm with you guys. I'm going to make it a clean sweep. I think Michigan is playing as well as anybody in the country right now, even though it's been a few weeks since it played. I'm going to root for Max Duggan as well, but rooting is not the name of the game in the pick six, okay? Last game, Spencer's batting leadoff. He's going to give us the pick of the game and the tiebreaker. The game is tomorrow morning's Music City Bowl, Iowa and Kentucky. The Hawkeyes favored by 2 points. And the tiebreaker is the total number of points in this game.
The number that is so very low. I've been saying all week, and even in the lead up to the game, this is a real tough game to pick just because of so many unknowns with both teams, with who's in, who's out, who's playing, who's not. I think it comes down to Iowa's defense. I think either Jack Campbell or Riley Moss has a game-changing turnover that leads to the winning points. So I will take Iowa and the 2 points. And the total, I will say 31. Circa currently has the over-under set at 30.5. So that is the over, my friends.
The Iowa defense shines, like we talked about with David Eichholt. And whoever's going to play quarterback from Kentucky, they do have weapons. They won this game last year, but neither team is going to be a semblance of the folks that were out there last year. Too much defense in this one. I'm going to take the Hawkeyes, and I'm going to go 33. It's going to be a 24-9 Hawkeye win. Okay. 24, ladies and gentlemen. Mark.
I can make an argument for Kentucky, but I think in losing its quarterback and running back is very significant. Although I covered two Rose Bowls and Iowa got victimized by third string running backs both times.
Jock Robinson.
I know how that can work, but I'm right along lines with you guys. I think Iowa's defense and a heavy dose of running, if it can get it done. So I'll take Iowa, and I'm going to say 35 points.
Ooh. Mark's tired of losing tiebreakers.
Dave.
This game features two backup quarterbacks. What do backup quarterbacks generally do? They turn the ball over, set up short fields. This game total is the lowest total in the last 5 years. The lowest 20 game totals in the last 15 years have gone 16-4 to the over. Give me Iowa to win and cover. 36.
I knew it! That's why Dave wins tiebreakers, ladies and gentlemen.
Dave.
All right. Dave, happy new year to you and the crew, and we'll talk in 2023 next week.
Same to all of you.
All right. Need four contestants right now at 319-366-1600. Go ahead and give Ben a call. hitch your wagon up to one of the prognosticators. Again, 319-366-1600. Go ahead and give us
a
call.
Dude is playing for keeps, isn't he?
He is.
Hey, once he got a sniff of the lead, he's not giving it back. Go ahead and give us a call, 319-366-1600. If you have been a contestant over the past 3 weeks, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. Ben will get your name and information, and we will go from there. And you can win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway if you hitch your wagon up to the top prognosticator. And happy New Year's, gentlemen. Enjoy it. We all get back to it on Tuesday with not a lack of things to talk about.
It's true.
Going to be fun. All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. And then we've got the Betfred Sportsbook Hour coming up tonight from 6 to 7, followed by the Orange Bowl. More bowl action, including the two semifinals tomorrow. We've got Iowa State and Baylor basketball. Big sports weekend as we head into 2023. Happy New Year, everybody.
Broadcasting from the Circus Sports Iowa studio.
This is KGYM.